Good morning. Boy, the smell up here is quite overwhelming with all these beautiful flowers. It almost makes you think that it's just a bit of heaven. I'll have you rise for me as we read the scriptures. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" You may be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the men of the congregation this morning, I'm going to ask you to fasten your seatbelts and return your chairs to their locked and upright position. As you know, ladies, most men do not like to ask for directions. Can you imagine where we would be in our present world today without the global positioning system, or the GPS as we call it, and using Google Maps? We all have this app on our phones or whatever mobile device we choose to carry. Some of us have the ever-popular smartwatches. Others of us have iPads. But whatever device we carry, including our cell phones, we all have the need to know where we are and how we can get to where we're going. It amazes me when I think back to a time when we didn't have these pieces of modern technology. How could we ever function without them? Today, when we open this scripture and we first read these verses found in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, what thought comes to mind? Well, if we casually glance at it, we may think for a moment that God did not have his GPS system with him. We might think that he was truly lost, or that he didn't know where Adam and Eve were, and he was searching for them. After falling into sin, they hid themselves in the garden because they were afraid. And if you notice in this text, God did not say, "Where are you all?" as in the plural, like our southern folk often say. But God asked, "Where are you?" the singular. God was asking for Adam because he was created first and he was the one to be in charge. He was to be the head of the household. Now this leads me to ask a very important question that affects every household in America today. Where are you to the men of this congregation? Where are you when it comes to leaving a legacy for your family that will last beyond generations? One day, we have to all admit that our family will be standing beside our gravesite. Will we want them to say that our father was a godly man, that he prayed with us, that he taught us how to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I most certainly hope so. Men, where are you when it comes to being the spiritual leader of your house? Do you have regular family devotions? Do you pray with your spouse and your children on a regular basis? And men, where are you when it comes to matters of the church? Do you let your God-ordained leadership be known? Or do you sit back in silence and let someone else take charge of your responsibility? Just as God called out to Adam, "Where are you?" He is calling out to you today. Where are you? God is searching for you. And I will explain this point later on. In our Bible reading for today, God was searching for Adam. But there are some important facts that we may have overlooked. Let us consider for a moment the divine nature of God. And if we can examine just two points of God's divine nature, his attributes, which define who God is, we can see exactly how those divine attributes define God. First of all, if we examine the divine attribute of being omniscient, this leads us to ask the good Lutheran question, what does this mean? This means that God is all-knowing. He knew that they had eaten from the fruit of the tree that he had commanded them not to eat of. Scripture tells us in Genesis 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" Even though Adam and Eve did not die physically that day, their spirit was dead towards God. The second attribute that we are to examine is omnipresent, which means that God is present everywhere. He can be in several places at once. He's not just limited to one location at a time. In fact, there is no place where we can go to escape the presence of God. In the book of Psalms, we read in 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." So being that God is omniscient, which is all-knowing, and omnipresent, which is present everywhere, we soon come to realize that God would have known both why and where Adam and Eve hid from his presence. He knew what Adam and Eve had just done. Now, this is where we encounter God's GPS. In other words, God's perfect sense. His perfect sense was fully functional. He knew exactly where Adam and Eve were, physically, but he wanted them to recognize where they were spiritually. God wanted them to know that he had no longer felt their presence because of a choice they had made. Because you see, when God created man, he gave him the ability to choose. And Adam and Eve chose wrongly. And God's perfect creation fell into darkness and away from his presence. "Where are you?" God asked this rhetorical question, because he knew their physical location. But what God wanted to know, where was Adam and Eve's heart? They hid from him because they felt they were naked. Their sin had exposed them, and they were ashamed. Adam and Eve were no longer walking intimately with God because their focus had shifted from an intimate relationship with God, and their focus was now on the cares and worries of the world. A veil of sin and darkness had fallen, and they became separated from God. And so God called out to the man, longing for his presence. This is why God asks the question, where are you? God is asking that very same question of us today. He knows your physical location, but he wants to know is where is your heart when you sit in church on a Sunday? As you go through the motions of worship, and as our lips move, but our hearts are far from being present. Matthew 15:8 says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Many Christians are like that today. Are you thinking about the cares and problems of the world, or problems at work or at home? Or are you strategizing about that big trophy buck that you've been tracking? How often have we been sitting in church in this very building, but we are lost, and our focus has not been on worship, but on our worldly cares? Oh, it's true, we come to church, or we sit through the service, and we may go through the motions, but our mind and our heart are somewhere else. Because God sees our heart, and he knows who we really are. He knows what we think we've kept in secret within each of us. Where are you in your walk with God? Is your heart right with God? Do you have a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ? Is your heart far from God? But God sees our heart, and we can't hide that from him. As God asks this question, he wants to know, where are you spiritually? God knows the human heart. He knows our true nature. He knows the condition of our heart, and he knows the secrets of our heart. He knows what we think we have been hiding. He sees it all. Just think of what that means when God searches our heart. What will he find there? Scripture also tells us that the human heart is desperately wicked, as we find in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And again in Psalms 4:22, if we had forgotten the name of our Lord God and spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of the heart? You see, unfortunately, all of us have the same problem. We are all sinners. How many times have we raised our hands to the gods of money and materialism? Oh, you may be a deacon in the church or even a minister, but you're still sinful. You may teach Sunday school or sing in the choir, but you're still a sinner. You may think you're a good person and you've never hurt anyone intentionally, but you're still a sinner. Even though you may be a good person and you make a habit of doing good deeds or doing good works for others, you're still sinful and still in need of repentance. We are all still in need of a Savior. Those good deeds, or whatever we do, or the fact that we're a good person, will never get us into heaven. And sadly enough, there are many good Christian people who believe that their good works will grant them a ticket to eternal life. But Scripture teaches us in Isaiah 64:6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. In reality, God could have ended it all and wiped his creation from the face of the earth and started over again. But he couldn't do it. Why? Because God is a just God and he is merciful. God is compassionate and God is love. In fact, he loved us so much that he made a plan to save us from eternal damnation. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they passed on to future generations the same fallen condition. And we are all guilty of sin in one form or another. For the Bible teaches us from the Word of God in Romans 3:22, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Our righteous deeds or good works, or whatever we may choose to call them, are not bad in and of themselves, but they are not going to get us into eternal life. Good works are a direct result of being saved by faith and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are often called the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible calls on us to do those good works as a result of being saved. But those good works in and of themselves cannot save us. The Bible teaches us in John 14:6, when Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But our good works can't bring you salvation, or being a good person will not issue a ticket into eternal life. Only through faith and belief in Christ as your Lord and Savior can you gain eternal life. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given unto mankind by which we must be saved." Thanks be to Almighty God that Jesus did not stay in the tomb. Just last week, as Christian believers, we celebrated perhaps the most important event in Christian history, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is often called the pinnacle of our faith. Easter represents the entire gospel in a condensed form. Without Christ being raised from the dead, our faith would be in vain, as the apostle plainly states in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ were not raised from the dead, our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. When Christ died on the cross, he took on the sins of the whole world. He took on our sins. They were laid upon him, yours and mine. When he died, the earth shook, and the temple curtain was torn in two. And God's perfect sense, his GPS, also became God's plan of salvation. For us, from the beginning, and was now finished when Christ rose from the dead. When God looks at us now, he does not see our sin, our filthy rags of self-righteousness, because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God is no longer angry with us, and he longs for us to be in fellowship with him. And so he calls to us, "Where are you?" In his mercy, Christ took on the penalty of our sins, and we have been set free from bondage. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. What a wonderful thing Christ did for us. Why would he do this? Because he loved us and was obedient to the Father. "Not my will," Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, but your will be done. And so we ask today, where are you? Because of Christ, we are reconciled to God the Father. As believers, we stand before his throne of grace with the confidence and assurance and hope of eternal life. And when we cry out to God, Abba, Father, and we repent of our sin, he looks down on us in mercy, and he sees only the blood of his Son that washes us clean, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God that his GPS, God's perfect sense, was God's plan of salvation, God's other GPS. To God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be power and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with us all. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.